23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to think about this psalm for a little while before we have the Lord's Supper tonight. Psalm 23, a psalm of David written about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came to this earth. And oh, how David knew the Lord. He knew him in a very, very personal way. And the depths of this psalm have been examined by, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of believers, and hundreds of different sermons have been preached out of this text. I've heard so many of them in my life, and they've all been different, and they've all been accurate, and they've all been helpful. It's just amazing the depth of this psalm. It is considered to be one of the greatest portions of just literary genius in all of even the secular world. In its splendor and in its poetry. But it contains 17 statements. And so my message tonight on Psalm 23 has 17 points. Now that can be very discouraging for those of you that know me very well. I shared 2 points at the chapel this morning, and I ran out of time there. And sometimes I can do 3 points and go for a long time. But these are just going to be quick little thoughts about the 17 statements in the 23rd Psalm. So let's get started. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus often said when he walked this earth, follow me. Follow me. The Lord is my shepherd. For many of us here tonight, the Lord is our Savior. There's a difference between him being our Savior and being our shepherd. Knowing him as our Savior is a wonderful thing. It saves us from our sins. It keeps us from going to hell. It gives us the wonderful gift of eternal life. But there's sometimes where people, their walk with the Lord ends there. They're very, very grateful that they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they never go on. They never follow the Lord. They don't take the next step, and instead of just Jesus being their Savior, allowing Jesus to be their shepherd. Their shepherd, that means the one that they are following in their lives. We need to give our lives to the Lord and follow him. And the next 16 statements that I make, they're very, very precious, or the Bible makes, are very, very precious, but it's all predicated upon whether or not we can honestly say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I can say tonight, the Lord is my Savior. I hope you can too. But can you say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, and I have given the rest of my life to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Some don't think that's a very great life. They think they're going to miss out on all the fun. I've never had so much adventure in my life than walking this walk of faith and not knowing what's ahead, how the Lord may lead. This thing just keeps getting better and better and better. As Mrs. Moore mentioned in her testimony, how it keeps getting sweeter all the time. And I feel that I love the Lord tonight more than I've ever loved him before. And he just seems to be sweeter and more precious to me than it's ever been before. And I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I'm not missing out on the misery and the emptiness of this life without Christ. And I'm not missing out on the hangovers and just the shallowness of life and relationships that aren't predicated upon the Lord. I hope you know the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. Have you continued to have a relationship? Can you imagine getting married someday and having your marriage vows and entering into your marriage vows And then from that day on, never having any communication or fellowship with your spouse, just going in a different direction, you never really get to know each other. If the Bible says when we get saved, we enter into a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. He is literally the groom, spiritually speaking, in the church, and those that comprise the church are his bride. And we are married to Christ, it tells us in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. And in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10 and verse 3. No, it's not. That's the wrong verse. 11:3, I think. Where it says we are married to Christ, and yet this is what has happened. Many people have entered into a relationship with Christ through salvation, but then they've wandered astray, and they have not grown in that relationship. Like my earthly relationship with my wife, Leslie, we've been married 30 years now. And, you know, we got to know each other for a little while, about 10 months before we were married. But then we had marriage vows before God on an altar one day in a church. But you know something? I know her far better today, 30 years later, than I knew her 30 years ago when we got married. In fact, as you look back, we hardly knew each other at all. And that's gotten more and more precious as the days go by. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You won't miss anything by saying, Lord, I give you my life. You lead me. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. I want you to guide me and direct me. And then we begin to see so many other statements in this psalm that are predicated upon that wonderful relationship of following Christ. Number two, I shall not want. I shall not want. That is satisfaction. That is satisfaction. I shall not want. This world has it backwards. This world thinks that if you become a Christian, you're going to want. You're going to be empty. You're never going to have any fun. You're never going to be fulfilled anymore. As you read the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, I want you to listen as I read it to you just a little bit and listen for a statement in here. It says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He began to be in want as he went off into the world and he partied. And it tells us later in the scriptures, as his brother was talking about him, that he devoured his living with harlots, and that he had just gone off into mirth and partying and so on and so forth. It says he began to be in want. But for the person who's the Lord is their shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Jesus is the one who satisfies. He not only saves, but he satisfies the believer and the follower of the Lord. I remember walking away from such a lifestyle over 30 years ago in my life, and I've never been happier than I am today. I've never been more satisfied than I am today than all the time I was in the world, thinking I was having fun and partying and doing all those things. When I was doing those things, I began to be in want. And I began to say, this is empty. This is shallow. And the people I'm with are shallow. And boy, you give your life to the Lord and he just starts filling up your life. It can become a very beautiful thing. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's satisfaction. He leadeth me beside, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. That's rest. Are you here tonight with turmoil in your soul? Oh, there's people today in this world who are in turmoil in their soul. They're in turmoil emotionally. They're in turmoil mentally. Do you understand that a relationship with Jesus Christ will improve every realm of your life? It'll improve your mental health, your emotional health, your even in most cases your physical health. Will improve. And man, you'll just start living in life in color. Jesus says, come unto me. Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Boy, people, some people are out on the storms of life, and they never sleep well. They never rest in the financial realm, and like I said, the mental, the emotional, the physical realm. They never have rest. Their relationships are always stormy. They're always getting in the wrong relationships. But boy, when you know the Lord, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. And you shall find rest for your souls. It's kind of nice walking through the world with rest in your souls, and you see so many other troubled people around you. And you know what they need? They need the Lord. They can have it too. The Lord can bring rest to your soul tonight if you give your life. Don't be afraid to. So many people are afraid to give their lives to the Lord. Then number four, he leadeth me beside the still waters. That's depth. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters run deep. Still waters always run deep. Shallow waters like Lake Erie, it's very rare that lake's still. There's always some waves on there and just a little bit of wind kicks up. And these are shallow lakes, these great lakes. I think it's about 230 feet deep. It's a shallow lake and it gets stirred up. The Sea of Galilee over in Jerusalem and Palestine has imperiled so many people's lives because they've gone out. It's a small lake. It's only about 7 miles across the thing. And they've gotten out there and winds and waves came up. That happened to Jesus one time when he was in the boat with his disciples. But still waters run deep. And this phrase right here, where it says, he leadeth me beside still waters, that's depth. He tells us in the word to dwell deep. And as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, life is no longer shallow. Life is no longer empty. Life is no longer meaningless. But life begins to take a depth to it, and you can go as far into that depth of life as you want to. And our Lord's understanding is infinite. And if you'll start a relationship with Christ, he'll begin to show you things over and over again, things that nobody else will ever see in their life. You can go as deep with God as you want to. You can study all your life. You can be up in your 80s and 90s and God can still be fresh to you. The Bible can still be fresh to you and he can still be teaching you things. He's not going to run out of things on you and your little brain. He's not going to run out of things on me either. I mean, he's just got things he can show us. All of our. He leads us beside the still waters. Number five, he restoreth our soul. He restoreth, notice it says here, he restoreth, verse 3, my soul. My soul. This word restoreth is almost the same word as the word renew in the New Testament that us men studied yesterday when we had our men's breakfast. And we saw that the word renew mentioned in Romans 12 and verse 2, the renewing of the mind and the renewing of the Holy Ghost in Titus 3 and verse 5 is literally a word that is referring to renovation. Renovation. It's the picture of somebody buying an old house and going into that house and just completely ripping everything out of the house, all the drywall, the insulation, all the wiring, all the walls, maybe even the floors, and starting all over and building up that house again. When it says here, he restoreth my soul, it literally means he renovates my soul. What he's saying here is that no matter how broken you are when you come to Christ, no matter how hurt you've been, no matter how abused you've been, no matter how forsaken you've been, and no matter what the damage is, you can come to God and be a complete wreck. But if you'll give your life to Jesus as your shepherd, he'll begin the healing and he'll begin the restoration of your soul and the restoration of your mind. And the restoration of your emotions. I'm amazed at the people and the power in which Jesus has healed people. As I hear people's testimonies, as I hear what they have gone through in their lives and they didn't choose to, and the people that have been abused, and the people that have been misused. And just amazing. I know a pastor, if I named his name, probably all of you would know him, and his wife, when she was a little girl, was repeatedly raped. A horrific thing she lived through. Yet you'd never know it if you met her. Because the Lord restored her. What man and what the devil tried to destroy, the Lord Jesus restored to her when she got saved. And when she chose to begin to let the Lord be the shepherd of her life, he was the shepherd of love and the shepherd of healing. And she's restored and she spends her life and she's just spent helping other people and she's happy. You'd never believe that. What she's been through, and so many others. And there's testimonies right in this room where you've been through things that people should not have to go through. But oh my, he restores our souls. That's healing. That's healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Number six, that's guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord guides us. He guides us to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing in your life, you'll never regret the consequences. Those of you that are young people, I want to encourage you to live and to walk in righteousness, and you'll never regret the consequences of your choices. But so many people that live in unrighteousness and make choices and decisions, and especially in their youth, that are unrighteous, man, there's consequences to pay for that. And don't confuse those consequences with condemnation or God's anger. God's not mad at you. There's just some consequences that that go along with choices we make. Be righteous. Get into the Lord and he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. He'll help you to make the right decisions. And when you get old, and you will get old, you will not have regrets. You will not have regrets that you gave the Lord your life in your youth. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Number seven, for his name's sake. That's purpose. For his name's sake. That's purpose. Why are we here? For his name's sake. Like it or not, the Bible says you were created to give God pleasure, not to go off and just, you know, live in your own pleasure. But to give God pleasure. We are here for his name's sake. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, it says this, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Notice, when Christ, who is our life is Christ. And we may say, no, my life is making money, and my life is this person, and doing this and sports, and all that kind of stuff. But for the person who has surrendered to point number one, the Lord is my shepherd. He's our life. He is our purpose. And in all these things that he has done so far for us in 1 through 6, he has done, number 7, for his name's sake. That's our purpose. As David cried out once, is there not a cause? And the highest cause you'll ever live for is Jesus Christ, and you'll never regret it. And then number 8, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the next statement in the psalm, we see that's protection. That's protection. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there are some scary moments in life. Can you picture here a shepherd? Can you picture a whole bunch of little lambs and sheep as he's walking through the valley? And up in the valley are the lions, the mountain lions, and so on and so forth, that would love nothing better than to devour the sheep as they walk through. That's called the valley, the shadow of the valley of death. And the shadow is coming on, and the night's coming on, and the little sheep there. And you know something about sheep? God has created sheep with absolutely no defensive mechanism whatsoever. Sheep have no defensive mechanism. They can't defend themselves. And the shepherd must defend them. And Jesus promises that if we'll follow him, if we'll stay close to him, we'll go through some very difficult times. We'll go through the valley, the very valley of the shadow of death. You know, there's a lion that wants to pounce on you. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy your life. You don't owe him anything. Quit listening to him. Quit following him. Quit listening to his lies where he tells you, no, you do my thing and you're going to have a lot of fun. Why sacrifice joy for a little bit of fun? The Lord can give you his joy. And that is so superior to the fun this world can give you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, number 9, I will fear no evil. We saw his protection in number 8, now we see his peace. I will fear no evil, that's peace. I will fear no evil, even though I'm going through times of danger in my life. Everybody goes through those times. But we don't have to fear any evil. The scripture says, the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Number 10, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. Jesus is faithful. He will never, ever abandon you at any season in your life. You all know that story about the footprints in the sand. You've probably all seen the picture and read the poem. It's a great thought. Whoever wrote it. Author unknown. The most famous author of all, I think, wrote that. Where the two are walking down through life and there's two footprints of sand, and then there's the difficult times in life and there's only one footprint. And then back to two, and then one, and the person without discernment at the end of their life turns back and complains and says, Lord, why did you abandon me during these hard times, the difficult times? And what's his response? No, those are my footprints. During those times, I carried you through that season in your life. It says, for thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Jesus said, I will never, ever forsake you. I'll never forsake one of my children. And the Lord Jesus will be with you. There's probably not a friend on earth that you can, well, once in a while you'll find a friend like that. We talked about that last Sunday night, about real friendship with Zabud and Solomon, and how a friend sticks closer than a brother, and a friend does not desert somebody else in the hard times. And that's how Jesus is. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He said, I didn't call you servants anymore. In John 15, he says, you're my friends. You're my friends. Jesus is your friend, for thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Then it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's comfort. Now, how does a rod and staff comfort us? A rod and a staff were used by a shepherd to poke away lions and other predators. And it was also used as a hook to discipline and straighten out the sheep when they were going astray. And if a sheep was beginning to leave the flock, he'd reach out with his hook and grab them by the neck and yank them back in. And the Lord keeps us close, and that gives us security. You need to understand whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. The Lord, in other words, spanks us. And if we get out of line, he's going to deal with us. And believe it or not, this chastening, this discipline, gives us comfort. Do you know who the most insecure people are on this earth? Those who have no rules to live by. Those who have no rules, they're insecure. Just as double yellow lines and single white lines and guardrails and stop signs and speed limit signs and yield signs and all of these rules on the road, just as these give us security. It makes our driving experience more comfortable. We're more comfortable. I mean, take them all away and see if you're comfortable out in the road. Take the guardrails off the Skyway going into Buffalo and see if you get comfort from getting rid of all the rules. Take away the double yellow lines. Take away the speed limit signs. Take away the stop signs. Take away the red lights and the green lights. Take them all away. Let's get rid of all the rules like they want to do in society. They want to keep pushing the envelope and they want to just keep watering down and diluting morals and righteousness. Well, do that on the roads and see if you feel comfortable driving out there. You won't. You'll take paths through the woods just to avoid people. See, it is the rules that give us security and comfort. And it's those who have no rules in their life, who have no guideline, who have no shepherd. These are some of the most insecure people. And oftentimes they have to become a rule in themselves, and because they don't have the discipline or the characters, the structure they need, they end up destroying themselves because they can't even govern their own appetites. Rules are good. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It comforts me to know that my Savior is going to straighten me out if I get out of line. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Number 12, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's preservation. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Preservation. You can be surrounded by enemies and it's not going to affect the Lord whatsoever. He's just going to say, sit down, let's eat. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. The anointing of a person's head with oil in the scriptures was significant in that they would take oil and they would pour it over the head of a man if he were to be assigned to the office of a prophet, a priest, or a king. When David says here, thou anointest my head with oil, that means God has consecrated David, and God has consecrated every one of his children to do something special for the Lord with your life. There's no such thing as a person who is saved that is not given some gift or some calling from the Lord to abide in and to follow and to accomplish in their life. There is a very, very special work that God has for you in your life. And you don't want to miss that for the world. It is the most fulfilling thing. It is the most satisfying thing you'll ever find in your life is what has God made you for? Why did God put you on the earth? And when you find that, and when you begin to do that, friend, you'll never look back. Thou anointest my head with oil. God has something special for you to do. He has called you. He has ordained you. It's not just the clergymen that are ordained. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God wants you to live a fruitful life. Listen, he didn't just make you just to do your own thing and leave you on your own to destroy yourself. He made you for a very special purpose. And if you don't find and do that very special purpose in your life, it will never get done by someone else. Thou anointest my head with oil. Number 14, my cup runneth over. Can you be happy living such a life? My cup runneth over. That's abundance. That's abundance. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The Lord didn't come to sap the life out of us. Some people have that opinion of God. As I mentioned sometimes, they just picture God as some cosmic killjoy that sits up in heaven that wants to make sure you never smile again. And every time you smile, he writes a new rule so you won't smile the next time. There's some people that have that picture of God. It's not him at all. He says, I've come that you might have life. See, it's sin that brings forth death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It'll bring death to your virtue. It'll bring death to your joy. It'll bring death to your happiness. It'll bring death to your health. It'll bring death to relationships. Sin, man, sin just, Romans 7:5 talks about the motions of sin. Man, sin doesn't stop for you. It just runs you over, destroys you, leaves you ruined when it's done. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. That's blessing. Surely, goodness. Would you like that life tonight? Would you like to have goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life? God's goodness. Man, I tell you, God has been so good to me. I just sometimes feel like saying, Lord, stop. I'm not worthy of this. Just not worthy of this. So good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Don't you want that life? All the day, that's blessing. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound in blessings. All you got to be is a faithful man, a faithful woman. You don't have to be super Christian. You don't have to be super Christian woman or super Christian man or anything. Just be faithful. And you'll abound in blessings. They'll follow you all the days of your life. Mercy. Number 16, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Where else would you want to be? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What assurance David had. He wasn't being proud here saying, I deserve heaven. He was just stating a fact. Because the Lord has been my shepherd, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And then finally, number 17, forever. That's eternity. That's eternity. What a song. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That satisfaction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's depth. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's protection. I will fear no evil. That's peace. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. That's preservation. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration to something very special God has planned for each one of you. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. That's eternity. I want to encourage you not just to know Jesus as your Savior, but give your life to him. The Lord is my shepherd. Say, Lord, here's my life. I want to follow you. I've been going my own path long enough. I want to follow you, Lord. And this Psalm 23, this has to be one of the richest portions of Scripture ever God has given us to bless our hearts. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads in a word of prayer. As our men begin to prepare to serve the Lord's Supper, let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord, that he is our Savior. Probably most of the people here tonight are saved. But Lord, how many of us can really say, the Lord is my shepherd? What a rich psalm, 6 little verses, packed with everything we need for this life and to satisfy us. Lord, I think some here tonight are not satisfied with their lives, with the direction they're taking. They're empty. They don't know why they even exist. But Lord, you could fill all of that for them. Oh, Father, I pray they'd turn their hearts and their thoughts to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, the plan you have for our lives is far better than anything we could plan for ourselves. And we can have your goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our life. Lord, help us. Bless now this time we have in the Lord's Supper as we think of your death on Calvary's cross. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.